This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, composer Howard Shore, wrote the music for the film The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. He's nominated for an Oscar for that score, which has already won music awards from the Los Angeles Film Critics and Chicago Film Critics. Shore has scored more than 60 films, including Seven, The Silence of the Lambs, The Score, and Analyze This. He's had a long collaboration with Canadian film director David Cronenberg and wrote the music for Cronenberg's films Scanners, Videodrome, The Fly, Dead Ringers, Naked Lunch, and Crash. Back in 1975, Shore was one of the founding members of Saturday Night Live. He wrote the show's theme and served as music director until 1980. We invited him for a musical retrospective of his work. Let's start with some of his music from the soundtrack of The Fellowship of the Ring. It's a very operatic style of music that we just heard.
Yes.
That was intentional on your part?
Well, this piece is based on a poem that Philippa Boyens, one of the screenwriters of Lord of the Rings, wrote called Revelation of the Ringwraiths. And it's an English poem that was translated into Anduneic, which is the ancient speech of men. It's a Tolkien language. And there is a chorus of, it's a mixed choir here of a 60-voice all-mixed choir singing this poem. And it's a very intense, scary scene. And it has, you know, the structure of the score is opera in its concept because it is so of great length, the score. It's 2.5 hours. I look to opera for form and concept because it goes somewhat beyond what I thought of as a movie score.
Was there any music that you studied or immersed yourself in to help bring to life a non-existent time in a non-existent place?
Well, Middle Earth is 6,000 to 7,000 years ago, and Peter Jackson didn't want to create a fantasy world. He wanted to create a historical feeling for the story, that in the sense that it, as if it had actually happened. So, all of our work is really based on on making it as real as possible. There wasn't one in any one particular piece in my research that I looked at that I followed, but the research led me to studying a lot of work that was created before Tolkien wrote Lord of the Rings, and then I studied everything in the last 50 years on how Lord of the Rings affected popular culture in terms of music or literature or cinema, and that actually did lead me in a lot of directions. And once I had absorbed what I felt had been done in this world, I then put it all aside. And of course, I wanted to feel what was my voice and what would I create, and what was the feeling that I was comfortable with as an artist to create in this world.
I want to talk with you about some of the other scores that you've written. Why don't we start with Seven, which is it's a crime film about a serial killer. I'm going to play some music from this that really kind of establishes the feeling of dread of approaching evil. Let's listen, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Music composed by my guest, Howard Shore, for the movie Seven. Where is this music in the movie, and what did you need it to do?
Oh, it gave me goosebumps listening to that. It really did. I hadn't heard that in a while. That's a scene near the end of the film where John Doe reveals himself as the killer, and he shows up at the station, and he's covered in blood, and he just says, "I'm the one who's done this," and it's a very intense scene, and that music is quite startlingly strong, and I just listening to that again, I haven't heard it in years, was just scared me.
Do you ask yourself what musically says blood, murder, fear?
No. I think compositionally first.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling, and I want to express that music. And I always think of music first on the page, relationships of one note to another. And that's all where it begins. And then after that, once I'm feeling I've captured some of the emotional feeling that I had and how I felt about the scene, and I've got parts of that on paper, then I can go to the process of orchestration and, you know, bringing it to life. What is it really going to sound like? And then you go through a process of conducting, and there's an expression in the performance and the recording. It's all part of making a score.
Now, you did several scores for the Canadian filmmaker David Cronenberg,
yes,
including Scanners, The Fly, Videodrome, M. Butterfly, Naked Lunch, Dead Ringers.
Yes.
How did you meet, and why it's such a long collaboration?
Well, I've actually finished, Spider is the last film I just finished with David. That's our 10th film, and it's been over 20 years. But we somewhat grew up making movies. And David's a few years older than me, and I knew him in Toronto, and he was sort of an older kid, and that was very wise, and was making 8mm movies, and then he started making 16mm movies, and I knew about him, and I always thought it would be wonderful to, at a certain point, if I had enough experience, to approach him about doing one of his films. And I finally did in the late 70s, and I worked with him on a film called The Brood, and it was actually the first film that he had worked with a composer and I had worked with a director. So our whole learning process has been growing up together, making movies. I've learned so much from him about how to make movies. He's such an amazing director, and the process just continues.
Let's hear an excerpt of how your music is used in the film Scanners. Scanners is a film about a group of people who have this ability to read other people's minds, to read their thoughts. And you'd think that that would be a good thing, that you'd want to read other people's thoughts, but what happens is that it's so intense to have all these other voices in your head, all these other thoughts and voices from other people, that your head can just literally explode from the pressure of all that information and all those voices inside your head. Now, two brothers who are the best scanners, the best readers of other people's minds, are also each other's arch enemies. And this is like the final contest between them at the end, in which they're both scanning each other's minds and their bodies are kind of like exploding in the process. As we hear this music, their veins are starting to kind of rise above their skin and kind of pop, and their faces are distending and contorting. So let's hear that final scene in the showdown between the two brothers who are scanners.
All right, we're going to do it the scanner way. I'm going to suck your brain dry. Everything you are is going to become me. You're going to be with me, Cameron, no matter what. After all, brothers should be close, don't you think?
Thank you.
an excerpt from the David Cronenberg movie Scanners. My guest Howard Shore did the music. You know, mixed into that music, we're hearing like other kinds of sound, including what sounds like it might be like the growling of tigers and maybe machinery mixed under that, just to give you the sense of like of the agony of the scene that we're witnessing. What is happening with the music there?
Right. This is a very early film of mine. I think this was maybe the second film that I did. And this is quite an experimental piece using orchestra and using electronics, but pure electronics. These are sounds that I've created through tape manipulation. They're sounds that I had recorded. And by the use of tape, this is pre-computers, pre-synthesizers, this piece. And it was using older tape techniques, music concrete, tape techniques of the 50s. When I was growing up in Toronto, I was interested in a lot of these techniques. And as a kid, I was interested in tape recorders and splicing pieces of sound together. And I heard Toru Takemitsu's, the great Japanese composer, I heard his music very early on when I was 10 and 11. And I was experimenting with these type of techniques quite early on. So working on Scanners, I think maybe in my late 20s, I finally had a chance to use some of these techniques with an orchestra and was able to go into a recording studio and try some of these things that I'd been experimenting with for years.
My guest is composer Howard Shore. We'll hear more of his film scores after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is composer Howard Shore. He's nominated for an Academy Award for the best score for the film The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. I want to play an excerpt of the score you wrote for the David Cronenberg film The Fly. And although this is kind of a remake of the Vincent Price film, this film is, there's a real existential quality to it. What happens if your body is taken over by a force that transforms it into something that's quite horrible?
Insect politics, David.
And so this is a track that on the soundtrack is called Creature Music. And it seems to me that there's a lot of kind of avant-garde compositional technique that you're using in this. Let's give it a listen and then we'll talk.
Okay.
Some of Howard Shore's music for the David Cronenberg film, The Fly. Are there certain kind of dissonant and atonal things that you're doing in that music that would be considered, you know, very, very new music-y if they were in the concert hall as opposed to on a soundtrack?
Well, this, again, The Fly offered me a chance to use a symphony orchestra. I think it was the first time on that film that I really had access to that size of an orchestra, and I also had a film of that scope. Conceptually, the idea was to write a piece that dealt with the emotional and the tragic nature of this drama. And so the music wasn't really created in a genre fashion to what you would think a Fly remake would be. It had a grander, more epic a feeling going on. And the orchestra here is using techniques that I was interested in and things that I had been studying for years and always wanted to try with an orchestra.
Like what?
Just these compositional techniques and that type of orchestration. And there were things that I wanted to do with an orchestra of that size but did not have access to until that time, actually.
Well, it's really interesting to me how you're able to work all these kind of edgy musics into your scores. Let's listen to an excerpt of your score for Naked Lunch. And this was the David Cronenberg adaptation of the William Burroughs novel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the William Burroughs and his fellow beat writers were very involved with Charlie Parker. Ornette Coleman is much more avant-garde, and very interesting that you managed to use him on the soundtrack for this. Before we hear it, tell us why you wanted to work with Ornette Coleman for the soundtrack.
I had met Ornette Coleman in New York, and I knew that just growing up in the 50s, I mean, I was a huge fan of Ornette's, and I asked him to do the film. The period that he was creating his music in the late 50s and Naked Lunch coincide perfectly. And Ornette, of course, was aware of Burroughs and Burroughs of Ornette. So the expression that Ornette had in music in the late 50s was very similar to what Burroughs was creating on the page in that same period. So it's like a perfect connection to Burroughs' state of mind in the 50s was to work with Ornette. And he was fascinated with the project and wanted to work on it. And it was a wonderful collaboration, actually.
How did the collaboration work? Because he's playing against a more symphonic piece that you've written. Could you talk about what he's doing and what you've composed behind him?
Right. He's working with me in a very improvisational way. I created a structure and a form for Ornette to express himself in.
Why don't we hear an excerpt of that score? And this is Howard Shore's composition for the soundtrack of Naked Lunch with saxophonist Ornette Coleman. Music from the soundtrack of the film Naked Lunch, composed by my guest Howard Shore, with saxophonist Ornette Coleman improvising within that. What did you tell Ornette Coleman when you asked him to perform on the soundtrack?
We had many, many discussions about the piece. It wasn't so much telling Ornette what to do. It was more working with him as a peer and expressing it was if you were playing with Ornette in his group. And it was a very harmelotic process where all parts are equal. So I'm expressing ideas that Ornette is expressing, and then I would express another idea. So we worked together sort of very, very carefully, and, you know, before the recording, in rehearsals with sketches of what I was writing. And then the sessions were done in a very open, creative, free way.
Composer Howard Shore, he's nominated for an Academy Award for his music from The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. He'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with composer Howard Shore. He's nominated for an Oscar for his score for the film The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. He also wrote the scores for the films Seven, The Silence of the Lambs, Philadelphia, and Ed Wood. He scored the David Cronenberg films Scanners, Videodrome, Dead Ringers, Naked Lunch, and Crash. Let's get to an earlier part of your career. You were the first music director for Saturday Night Live, I think from 1975 to 80.
Yes.
You were the music director.
Yes.
How did you get to work on the show?
Well, my background had always been in theater, and I was part of a group of writers and actors and directors. As a kid, we did shows on the weekend that were similar to Saturday Night Live. We did improvisational shows with music and sketches and reading of poems and pantomime and choreography. I mean, we were interested in that as kids. So at 13 and 14, we were actually doing a version of that show. And my background has always been a very collaborative background with a theater group. And people ask me sometimes, how can you work on comedies? And then how can you do movies and then, you know, a very comedic nature and then do a movie like Seven? And I say, it's really simple in a way. It's comedy tonight and drama the next night. I mean, if you work in repertory, you're used to working with different forms of drama. And doing Saturday Night Live was a natural expression of the group that I had been working with. What we did when we came to New York was a small group of us, I think there was maybe 10 or 12 of us, kind of brainstormed and put a show on the air each week, a 90-minute show that we kind of just created from scratch every week.
Were any of those people who you first came to New York with people who ended up on Saturday Night Live?
Of course.
Who were they?
Well, Lorne Michaels and Tom Schiller, Gilda Radner, we knew from Toronto, and Dan Aykroyd we knew, and then we met Michael O'Donohue, and Belushi came from Chicago, Lorraine Newman from Los Angeles. You know, it was a group basically of Toronto, Chicago, Los Angeles, and some New York. And we met in New York, and, you know, bit by bit we created a show. But it was very, very, there was a lot of equality in the sense that it was a group of writers and performers and directors and producers and musicians and composers. We basically, the whole group sat in a room and created the show.
Now, one of the interesting things about the Saturday Night Live band is that it was either the first or one of the first shows that had a rock, rhythm, and blues-oriented band as opposed to a kind of Johnny Carson, Doc Severinsen mm-hmm. type of jazz show band.
Right.
Was that clear from the start that you would have more of a rock, rhythm, and blues-oriented sound?
No. Again, it came out of something that I was interested in. The period before Saturday Night Live, I'd been on the road for years. I was touring with a group called Lighthouse, and we were opening for Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane, Jimi Hendrix. And I was on the road for 4 years until I was 22, I think, when I came off the road, 23. So I was interested in R&B and rock and roll. I mean, those were my musical interests. And when I came off the road at that point, I had a band that I played in Toronto with that was playing all of my, you know, original music that I was writing and things that I was interested in. And so the Saturday Night Live band was just an extension of what I had been doing in Toronto and on the road for all of those years. And it was quite different, as you say, from what the television norm had been, the more the big band era. And that historically now, looking back on it, seemed to be a turning point to a different kind of sound and a different type of music expression at that time.
And are you featured on, were you featured in the band?
Well, I was conducting, and the band was had wonderful players from all over New York. When I came to New York, not really knowing a lot of players in New York, I really chose people that I was interested in from my record collection. And I had a really good jazz and R&B record collection. So when I arrived in 75, I was basically calling up, musicians that I was interested in as a fan that I love, like musicians like Howard Johnson and Bob Cranshaw. I mean, those are people I had heard on records for years, and I was thrilled to be able to have them in the band.
Why don't we hear a recording of the theme from early in the history of Saturday Night Live.
Live from New York, it's Saturday Night!
Hey!
Howard Shore, who's playing saxophone on that?
That's Lou Marini.
And how has the theme changed?
The theme is interesting that it's an improvisational piece for saxophone. And because the show is basically an improvisational show, and it's grown over the years, it's now been on, I think, since to its 27th year, I wanted a piece of music that could grow along with the show and could change expression by who was performing it, in the same way that the cast of the show is essentially still the Not Ready for Primetime players, but it's evolved by who's in the cast. So who's in the band expresses the music of the show at that time.
Did you get to meet any music heroes on the show?
Well, of course. It was interesting in the early part of the show. We were booking the show, meaning we was basically Lorne Michaels and myself and Craig Kellum. I mean, and we were interested in putting people on the show from our record collection. I mean, we were avid music fans, of course, and we wanted to put people on that we were interested in. And not everybody would really do the show. It was quite different than it is now because it wasn't a well-known show, and people weren't, they were a little afraid of playing live on television. It was a little scary, and the sound might not have been perfect and all of that. So sometimes it was difficult to have people on the show, but we still managed to. I was still lucky to get people like Ornette Coleman did the show, and Keith Jarrett did it, and Sun Ra. I mean, there was people that you wouldn't normally think would be associated with the show. So it was quite wonderful at that early stage. I remember we did a reunion of the band, which was a wonderful show, and Beatles being on the show, and the Stones. I mean, they were all childhood sort of heroes of ours.
My guest is composer Howard Shore. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is composer Howard Shore. His score for the film The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring is nominated for an Oscar. He's written many film scores and wrote the original theme for Saturday Night Live. Now, before you were the first music director of Saturday Night Live, you spent several years on the road with the band Lighthouse. This is a rock band with a horn section.
And a string quartet.
Lighthouse had a string quartet?
Yes.
Oh, that I don't remember.
Yes, it had an electronic string quartet.
Okay. Now, this was like the psychedelic light show era, where if you played at the Fillmore, which you often did,
yes,
there was going to be, you know, light show, and probably a lot of the people in the audience and a lot of the people on the stage would be pretty high. Give us a sense of what it was like to perform in that era.
Don't remember anything from
right.
it. It was a very amazing time, actually. I mean, I was quite young. I was 19, 20 mm-hmm. when I was on the road. I was studying music at Berklee School of Music. I was studying composition. And I had this offer to go on the road with this band. And Berklee at that time was a very much a working school, you know, where it was designed to give you some knowledge so you could make a living as a musician. And here was a real job, you know, that you could go out and do. And it didn't pay much money. It was only a few $100 a week, but it seemed like a really good opportunity to work with some really great musicians. And the string players were unusual because they came from orchestras. The brass players were, a lot of them were wonderfully great jazz players. And it was a great rock rhythm section. And it offered writing and arranging possibilities. And Lighthouse also played with orchestras at the time. We wrote a ballet for the Royal Winnipeg Ballet that we performed. And we also did rock concerts with orchestras that were sort of popular at the time. In the time of Procol Harum was interested in doing that. And Knights in White Satin. I mean, that was the era of rock music and live orchestras. And so at the age of 19 and 20, I was standing in front of orchestras and conducting some of my own pieces and orchestrations, and it was quite an amazing time. You learned an amazing amount about music and about people and about collaborating. I did 1,000 one-nighters in 4 years.
Do you ever get frustrated when you're writing movie scores that you've spent all this time writing this, like, great passage, and they're only using like a short excerpt of it, and it's kind of buried in the background of the soundtrack, and you're really hearing the dialogue, and your music is like in back of that,
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen?
You have to realize that filmmaking is a very collaborative art. And I'm sure everybody feels to some degree that something they created maybe it didn't get in the film. I'm sure actors must feel that way too when certain scenes are not in the film. But what you're doing is trying to create your best work. You're trying to give your best expression to the film and hoping for a best overall result for the film, whether it's music or cinematography or editing or direction or screenplay. I mean, the best films are the ones that have tremendous balance between all of those parts. And you're creating, you know, with your expression, you're creating a part of a whole.
Well, Howard Shore, congratulations on your Academy Award nomination, and thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure.
Howard Shore has an Academy Award nomination for his score for the film The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.